come, use one of these microphones over here, and introduce three other young ladies, even younger young ladies, who travel full-time in evangelistic work in Southern Baptist churches all over our convention.
Thank you, Ed. About 2.5 years ago, we added a new dimension of our ministry, that in the person of Dr. James Mahoney, who teaches every morning in our crusades. And we've seen real revival in many churches across the convention and had a tremendous time. When Dr. Mahoney came, we did not know that his three daughters also are very talented, and we put the group together. Let me introduce them to you one at a time. Kaywin is over on the far side. She's about 16. And then Kim is on this side. She's about 13. And then Kelly, the little one in the middle, is 11. And Kelly leaves this convention to go immediately to Waco, where she's in the contest for Little Miss Texas. So here they are, Kay, Kim, and Kelly Mahoney.
If Jesus said he died, believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountain be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity.
A blind man cried, I cannot see. O Son of God, have mercy on me. Then Jesus spoke so sweet and low. Arise, my child, your faith has made you whole.
If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountain be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity.
In my Father's house, there's plenty of room. And Jesus said, I'm coming soon to cut away my waiting bride and take her home around the other side.
If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountain be removed and cast into the sea, God's word lasts forever throughout eternity.
Dr. Mahoney, their father, teaches them as they travel. They travel all over the United States with the Richard Hogue Evangelistic Association. They go to school by the Calvert School of Missions, the University of Nebraska Extension Department, and so forth. Now here's a man who's been minister of music at several of our greatest churches, in evangelistic work now, a member of the Rehoboth Baptist Church in Atlanta, Brother Jack Bice.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he is I can do my duty as a Christian, Lord. If I can bring back beauty to the world abroad, if I can spread God's message that my master my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in.
with a lot of joy and pleasure, and with the help of Mr. Gordon Twist. My name is Steve Taylor. I have not been introduced, so I'll just take that privilege now. Gordon Twist with the Roger Breland Truth Organization at the piano. By special request, and so many have asked that we do, When We See Christ, or It Will Be Worth It All.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to Him in prayer. Us, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the till we see Christ.
To take advantage of the informality of this precession music, let me say that several years ago, when I was minister of music at the First Baptist Church in Lake Charles, Louisiana, the witness of Steve Taylor, whom we all consider to be the dean of evangelistic musicians, had the most monumental effect upon my life. And very shortly thereafter, that revival, I surrendered to full-time Christian service. And he's been an example to my life and to countless thousands. Recently, I asked in six churches' revival efforts the last 6 weeks how many had accepted Jesus during a revival. 80% of all six congregations had accepted Christ during a revival. 55% by actual count had accepted the Lord under the ministry of a full-time evangelist during a revival. So it means a great deal to me to have this opportunity, and again, we thank our president and Brother Bill Reynolds for this privilege. Steve, that was great.
Thank you, sir.
And now then, the young Stallneckers. Feeling good, feeling free, is that it? Chip on this end, Lynn, Rick's wife on the other side, Rick, feeling free.
Walking along the slow running river, stopping to rest in the shade. My old dog is following close behind me, feeling that I've got it made. A frog springs off an old muddy bank, my fishing cord goes under, and then I catch an old catfish, but I throw him back so someday I can catch him again. And I'm having fun under the sun, feeling good and feeling free. And it's hard to believe God made all this for me, made it all for me. watching the ripples run. A bobcat's catting, dragonflies dragging, being in the woods is fun. Yes, I'm having fun under the sun, feeling good and feeling free. And it's hard to believe a God made all this for me, made it all for me. Hard to believe God made all this for me, made it all for me. There's so many things to do, so many things to try, I can't even do them all. So why don't you come along with Jesus and me? I'm sure you'll have a ball. We'll be having fun under the sun, feeling good or feeling free. It'll be hard to believe God made it all for you and me. Made it for me. Well, I'm having fun. Well, I'm walking down the street, smiling at every face of me, having a good time. Do 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 do.
Next is Jerry Wayne Bernard. Jerry Wayne works with Freddie Gage Evangelistic Association out of Houston. Tremendous singer. I know you'll enjoy Jerry Wayne.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay have been revived when we shall leave this place.
We'd like to invite you again to our open house tonight. We're so appreciative. About 3,000 attended last evening. Many of the evangelistic singers will be performing. Let me add that Truth will be performing tonight at 10:30. I think the greatest scriptural authorization for their ministry is Psalms 149, 150. We use the organ and piano in our churches, which is the only thing that is not scriptural. The guitar is scriptural. so are the drums, so are the cymbals, and I want to thank them for their tremendous presentation. I had them scheduled for 3:55 later on, but they will be performing tonight. Now here's Betty. Veazey's coming now. No one has thrilled us more with his singing and tremendous dramatic presentation. Randall, I'd like for you to, who's your accompanist today? Do you have Betty Jean with you? Okay, great.
Accompanying me at the piano today is Betty Jean Chatham from Shelbyville, Kentucky.
Snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. There is a fountain blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. Blood. how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Randall Veazey. And now if we could have some light on this section of the choir loft. This is a group of people all in full-time evangelistic work, all music evangelists. I'd like to thank Nashville for the way in which they have printed in our directory of Southern Baptist pastors a listing of all Southern Baptist evangelists. I'd like to thank them for next year printing a separate heading for music evangelists. And now there's a new song in my heart. I'm going to let these evangelistic musicians leave now. And again, I want to thank Bill Reynolds for this tremendous opportunity. Roger Breelan, is Truth ready again? Can they do another number? Then I'm going to ask some of your staff, if they would, to remove the drums and the cymbals. We appreciate the privilege and the opportunity of singing for you today.
This is tremendous singing. Let's remain standing. We will sing a second hymn. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Shall we sing?
That is life, that I thought.
you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Mr. McKinney. And now continuing our theme interpretation, this being the last, we shall hear the subject share his love now by personal witness, and former SBC President K. Owen White will lead our thinking. Dr. White.
Oh, mark the thing first.
I'm sorry. Dr. White will bring the presentation after we have some special music by Martha Brandon. And how I could overlook a lovely lady to get to an ex-president, I do not know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
It's all right. When we contemplate the things that may beset Christians in the days that are ahead, our hearts would be filled with fear were it not for the wonderful hope that is given to us in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, when our Lord Jesus said, "When you see all of these things beginning to happen, lift up your heads, look up, stand straight, your redemption draweth nigh."
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told, how that Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his returning
Thank you, Martha Branham, for singing for us. The Daily Bulletin lists me as a citizen of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, Phoenix is a great city, but for the past 6 years, Mrs. White and I have been citizens of the great city of Tucson, nestling under the shadow of those glorious Catalina Mountains that rise nearly 10,000 feet above sea level under the vast expanse of the blue Arizona sky, and we love it. Y'all come and see us, but not this week. Many years ago, the United States submarine S-4 was on maneuvers with a task force off the New England coast. Upon surfacing from a dive, it was in collision with one of the other ships. The forward compartment immediately began filling with water and was closed off, and the submarine sank in about 140 feet of water. Immediately, the approximate spot was marked with a buoy, and when rescue ships arrived, divers went down and located the sunken hulk soft mud on the ocean floor. The 44 members of the crew were alive. When they heard the footsteps of a diver walking across the slanting deck above them, hope surged up in their hearts. They knew that they had not been forsaken nor forgotten. One of them seized a hammer, and using the International Morse code, he pounded out a message on the inside of the hull. It consisted of two words: how long? How long? The diver knew exactly what they meant. The supply of oxygen within the submarine was limited to a very few hours. When that was gone, it would be over for all of them. Optimistically, he pounded out a message from the outside of the hull, using two words: not long, not long. Then that tension-packed drama began. Activity everywhere. The rescue ships gathered around. More divers went down. The responsible officers huddled together in concentration. The United States Navy threw its vast resources into the gigantic effort to save these men. Everything went wrong. The weather rapidly worsened. A furious storm fell upon them, driving the ships from their moorings. Further diving was impossible. Fierce currents surged around the sunken vessel, stirring up the mud and blinding the divers. Necessary equipment was not available. As they waited for it, they were filled with frustration. The weather was appalling. Superhuman efforts were exerted. Everything possible was done. But the hour passed when it was possible that any oxygen could remain in that submarine. And when divers were able to go down again and pounded on the hull, they received no response. The crew had perished. And the men who had tried to save them could hear the despairing cry of their fellow seamen: how long? How long? Share his love now by witness. The word to be emphasized is now. We are familiar with various channels of witnessing. We witness by preaching. We witness by teaching. We witness by singing. We witness through the printed page. We witness by the impact of our whole life. But always the preeminent channel is the channel of personal witness. This is face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, person-to-person, one-by-one. Here, there is personal interest, personal contact, personal concern. Perhaps our preaching would be more effective if it were looked upon not merely as preaching a sermon, but as bearing witness to individuals. Perhaps our teaching would take on new life if it were looked upon not just as teaching a lesson, but as bearing witness to people. Perhaps our singing would have a new note if somehow we did not think of it as presenting a song, but as challenging individuals with the message of Christ. Personal witness. At that time when the submarine lay there on the bottom of the sea, it was a scene of great urgency. Time was of the essence. Men worked around the clock. Hunger was forgotten, exhaustion was forgotten, danger was forgotten. The thought uppermost in the mind of every man was this: we must reach them and save them now before it is too late. A sense of urgency must underlie all our witnessing. All the Bible has this sense of urgency. Life itself carries the seeds of urgency, because the thread of life is always fragile and brittle. Always men are just one step from eternity. This is why the Old Testament says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern." There was a time when David was commissioned of the king to undertake a task. He said, "The king hath commanded me a business." And then he added, "The king's business required haste." Nehemiah knew this sense of urgency. When his enemies would have turned him aside from his main purpose, he said, "I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I come down to talk with you?" Jeremiah knew this same sense of urgency. Ezekiel knew this same sense of urgency when God said to him, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Wherefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." There was the day when Jeremiah, disappointed, discouraged, disillusioned, frustrated, bitter, cried out, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up within my bones, and I was weary with restraining, and I could not stay." And what preacher among us has not felt that burning of God's word within his soul? However, it is the New Testament which is preeminently filled with this sense of urgency. Jesus felt it. At 12 years of age, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." Early in his ministry, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And that concern and urgency drove him to Calvary. To all of us, he left a challenge in the words, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Paul.